It is very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan. A little bit later than usual today, of course. It's 2 o'clock, not 12 o'clock as usual, but there's a very good reason for that. As we know, society is now at a tipping point here in Ireland, with the news every single day changing when it comes to immigration. Politicians, residents and business owners are calling for action and an explanation as to why a new migrant tent city has expanded along the banks of the Grand Canal. Despite recent clearances of the makeshift camp on Mount Street, the number of tents accommodating asylum seekers and migrants has risen to around 70 on both sides of the canal in Dublin City. A promise, by the way, that the government said will never happen again. The emergence, or this emergence of a new camp, contradicts assurances from the Taoiseach and the government that such encampments or tent cities would not be tolerated. Taoiseach Simon Harris reiterated last week that the makeshift encampments on public thoroughfares are illegal, while defending the government's response to the accommodation crisis. The camp outside the International Protection Office in Mount Street gained international attention last week, of course, sparking verbal disputes between the Irish and the UK governments over the immigration policies here in Ireland in particular. And today's nationwide protest has been organised by various groups frustrated with the government's handling of the immigration crisis. But not just the immigration crisis. It does seem like this particular protest today is seen as a national protest of people to, I suppose, stand up against government failures on housing, healthcare, the cost of living, and generally people who feel let down by the government and their opposition parties. In recent days, there has been a counter-protest organised on O'Connell Street in Dublin by other groups who believe that the national protest is only about immigration and that they refer to them as a right-wing protest. From many of the comments I'm seeing online, the immigration crisis is the main issue, and it is the issue that seems to be affecting everybody, but there are other issues that people are there for as well, including housing, healthcare, GP services, education, places in schools. All of those, by the way, are affected directly by a population increase that we've had over the last 2 years. Others who contacted us said they'd never attended a protest before, but they were disgusted at the way the protest in Newtown Mount Kennedy was handled last week, and they felt they needed to show solidarity with the people. So are you going to the protest? Let us know, by the way, by texting or WhatsApping 085 100 2255. That's 085 100 2255. Are you not going? Do you have concerns? Maybe you just couldn't get in there today. Maybe you have concerns about Ireland and the government's failures at the moment. Or if you're part of the counter-protest, we'd like to hear from you too. We want to be fair to people. Let us know why you're going and why you seem to be voting or protesting against your own people and their concerns. Now, we do want to take your calls. Remember, it's 085 100 2255. But also, live on the streets in the protest for the Niall Boylan Show is Robbie Kane, our roving reporter. Robbie, hi, how are you?
And a very good afternoon to Niall. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on board today. Yes, we're here at the Garden of Remembrance, as you know. It is the start of this particular protest today. There's over about 250 people here at the moment. And, of course, it's starting to kind of build up nicely. And while I'm here, I have two people who want to say hello to you. I just want to reverse this for 1 second so you'll be able to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We get the technical issues out of the way. Don't you worry. There they are.
Yeah, there they are. Oh. How you doing?
And don't forget, but Robbie sorted that out. Don't forget you can text us or WhatsApp us. Okay, Robbie, go ahead. I think we have them there now, yeah?
And
hi, ladies.
Chrissy and Siobhan. Siobhan, thank you so much for speaking to the Niall Boylan Show. Why are you here today? Tell me.
Well, we're here in protest of what the government has done to our country. We seem to be the minority now in our own country. We're not against immigration, but we are against unvetted people coming in, undocumented people coming to our country, and taking the place in the social welfare system, housing. There's so many issues, and the government really needs to step up now and take stock.
But this has been happening for a while. It's only after coming to, you know, the forefront of people's minds, because people were saying 80% of the international protection applicants are coming in from Belfast. They're coming from the UK. So, I mean, it's happening quite a lot. It is.
Well, with the Rwanda thing, England is emptying out theirs now, you know, and our government won't put the borders back. Well, I think they should go back for the likes of this, because our country can't take it. We have to look after our own. Look how many of our own are dying in the street. Homeless, you know, that North, come on, you know, something has to give, and they need to listen to the Irish people, because remember, they're in government for the power of us, to serve us, not for us to serve them.
What do you have to say about the opposition parties? Because there's no opposition party here today.
I don't have much to say, you know, they're sitting on everybody's fences. They haven't got a scarf on their head, they've got a badge on their thing. They sit on everybody's fences. They need to step up. You know, I think they are awakening now to it because this can't go on. I mean, I was at a protest in Nace there last month, and it was unbelievable the amount of places put down there in the middle of nowhere. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Maybe Robbie, maybe you could ask her what her main concerns are. If you could ask her, you know, from her
hold
local.
On, what? Yep, you go. Yeah. What's okay. your main concern? We'll put that to your ear for one second.
We'll put that in your ear there. Yeah, I've been listening to what you have to say, and I have to say I find it extremely interesting. A lot of people feel the same way. But when you know, we ask people what are their main concerns for you, for local communities, when you see, say, you know, men being put into accommodation in local communities like Newtownham and Kennedy, for example, and Ockram and all the other places in Ross Cray, what do you think the concerns are for local people? Is it lack of services? Is it a fear or maybe a security issue? I mean, what do you believe the main concern of people is?
Well, the main concern is crime, I presume, unvetted people being in their area. Fear.
Yeah, okay.
Fear,
okay.
I would say fear. You know,
Do you believe you're not being listened to? I mean, when I see people at a protest like this, I feel that people feel voiceless and they just feel that the government parties are just not listening to them anymore. Why do you think they're not listening to you anymore?
Because the government has been directed by the EU. That we've been sold out by the EU, Niall, by the EU. And they can't do enough for them. The government can't do enough for the EU and take direction from them. You know, I mean, it's not so long. We were celebrating 100 years of 1916. What was all that for? If we are going to be the minority in our own country.
And I, as you may or may not know, of course, I'm running myself as a candidate in the EU this year for the Dublin constituency. Do you think the EU can do a lot more to work with Ireland and we can still hang on to our sovereignty and hang on to the legislation we have around our borders? Now, I know the EU MEPs that were there in the last 4 or 5 weeks signed the EU Migration Pact. Hopefully the government don't get that through. They're trying desperately to get that through. As they're selling it to us as some sort of wonderful thing that we should sign up for. I'm assuming you believe we shouldn't sign up for it, obviously.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know what, Niall? I believe Ireland can stand on its own in the EU. Without the EU, I believe we are a nation that has proven diversity in everything. But we cannot and we should not allow undocumented, unvetted people into our country with no borders, no clear. I mean, they're coming in, they're getting the medical card handed to them. You know, I work very hard, and I've worked since the age of 15.
And how do you feel about people like yourself? I certainly wouldn't call you. I call you a concerned citizen. But how do you feel when you hear the opposition parties and the government referring to you, an average citizen, as the far right? How do you feel about those labels that are being put on people?
Oh, listen, sticks and called a lot worse. I'm right so far, not far right. So far, you know, this has been happening since 2004. You know, so it's a long time coming, and the Irish people have to stick together. If not, we're just going to be walked on.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very much indeed for taking part
You're
today,
welcome,
and have a peaceful protest. And I hope you do well.
Siobhan, appreciate that. Thank you very much,
Siobhan.
Well, I'm going to stick this way with it. Okay, we're going to have another lady here, Chrissy. Okay, put that into your ear, Chrissy. How's it going? Thank you so much for speaking to the Niall Boylan podcast show live today outside the Garden of Remembrance. Now, you are from Malahide. I mean, you are far from far right. Let's be honest with you. You are a mother. I mean, you're here today because you have your own reasons why you want to be here. Please tell us the reason why. And how do you feel about being called far right when you're far from it?
Well, to be honest, very like the lady before, yes, I'm a 100% big thinker. I feel that when I have to say, it doesn't matter what we say, we've not been listened. So on that note, I have to say, that's it from beginning to protesting.
Well, what do you think your presence would be felt here today by the government? I mean, there's over 250 people here at the moment. There's more going to join.
They even want to listen, to be honest. That's how I feel. I don't think they want to do that. To be honest, I don't have much else to say. I'm sure it's
okay.
For itself.
Well, listen, thank
you
very much
indeed.
Who
are you voting for in the next
election? I can't honestly.
She probably can't think of anybody to vote for. That's the problem, isn't it? They're all pretty much the same. Yeah.
Okay, Chrissy, thank you so much for speaking.
Thank you,
Chrissy.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Robbie, well, listen, what we're going to do is we can see there's a good crowd building. Now, I know the march starts at 2:30, so people will be joining over the next 20 minutes. I'm not too sure how many people there at the moment. As you can see, maybe you can hold the camera up a little bit higher there and let's have a quick look around.
Yeah, no, I'm going to stick with it this way rather than looking at me, because it's okay. Easier then to talk to people when I'm looking at them rather than turning it right around.
Absolutely,
so
we'll
be able to do it this way.
Yeah,
and anybody who I can speak to in the meantime, I'll talk to our producer to connect us to the line as well.
All right. Well, look, we'll come back to you in 5 minutes, Robbie. Thank you very much indeed. There you go, our reporter, Robbie Kane, who is live at the Garden of Remembrance in Dublin, where there's a fair crowd building up at the moment of that protest. You can see there, probably, I don't know, I'm not great at numbers, but so far it looks like about 500-600 people so far. And a heavy Garda presence, obviously. And the Garda Síochána are hopefully there to keep the peace, and that is the job that they will do throughout the day. Let me go to Mary, one of our callers as well. Mary, hi, how are you?
How you doing? How are you? Firstly, I just want to say to everybody that's listening in, and if somebody's on their earphones out in the crowd there, this is not just about policy, governed policy, because 2 weeks before elections, they'll change their policy. This is about a rogue government. This is about a government that thinks they are in control of people and people's minds. So this is not just about, hey, it's about immigration, because they'll change that. This, remember, this is a government that wants us to vote in these referenda, the durable relationships, and treating carers like a piece of crap and letting families mind people that were old enough to get in services. So people need to remember that. 11 years in business, in power, Fine Gael is an absolute disgrace. Now they think they own the Dáil and they think they own the people. Get them out. Go up to the Dáil. We need to overrun that government. We all need to go in there, and we will. I'm working from home, but I mean, if we do a day, we go in there. We need to overrun the Dáil. Don't be walking up the street and people don't.
Mary, with the greatest respect, I don't agree with, or I certainly don't condone any kind of violent actions or anything like that. But no. You are right, there needs to be a protest at the Dáil to let politicians know how we feel. The real way to protest, Mary, is we've got local and European elections coming up. We've got a general election probably in November. Most likely they'll have it in November in the hope that very few people turn up. And that's why they'll always have it on a cold day in the middle of November.
They're all going to go together. Like, you know, if one party gets, look at the Greens on four.
But you can protest. But the best form of protest is we go to the polls in November or in June, for example, for the local elections, and don't vote for government parties. Go vote for independents, your local independent who you believe you might align with or whatever it is. There are so many independents running now at the moment.
Better the devil you don't know.
Absolutely. So the best idea is just not to vote for government parties if you feel the government aren't listening to you. And I think that's the best way we can show this government, if you feel you want to show them that they're not listening.
We need to realise it's not just about one policy, it's about the government themselves. Get them out. And even the opposition. Mary Lou, you are just absolute disgrace. We need to get them all out. And now, can I just say something there? I was talking to one of the girls there on the phone. Is there any way we can actually intervene in our constitution? Is there any way that us as a people can decide how long the government stay in power? Can we decide, you're not getting as long as 4 or 5 years?
A lot of people have asked this, by the way, and the only way the government can be taken out of power is by the opposition party calling a vote of no confidence in the government or in a particular minister.
I get you, but is there any way we could review it all in two and a half years? We have to stick with the 4 or 5 years for government?
There's no harm in calling for that, but there would have to be a constitutional change, because in the court of the constitution, the government has a 5-year term. Now, in relation to your referendum idea, it's up to your senators, and there's many good senators in there, by the way, at the moment. We have Michael McNamara and a few others that are in there that are very good. And it's up to our senators to get a petition. For example, if we're talking about, say, the EU Migration Pact, which is one thing that concerns people at the moment, or indeed the hate speech laws, or whatever it is that has to be passed in legislation. If the senators sign a petition and hand it to the president, it doesn't have to be a constitutional issue. The president can call a referendum. So it's called what they call, under law, it's called an ordinary referendum.
It looks like we've governments here and we just vote for one, and even when we vote for one we get three parties instead of the one.
Yeah.
But we didn't vote for that other government, and we went into the treaty for trade only, and now they are telling us what to do, and our government
Mary, you know who to blame for the EU Migration Pact and the treaties is our EU MEPs. They're the ones who vote for those things, you know, over in Europe. And before we know it, 2 or 3 years later, it comes down the road and we're done, and it's already gone. It's already passed and we're already in it. So it's really important, and I'm not just saying this because I'm running as a candidate for Dublin this year, but it's really important that if you want to vote against the government, vote for an independent. Vote for me in Dublin if you want to. But if you want to vote...
Don't worry, you're number one all around.
That's okay. But what I'm saying is, it's really important who we send to Europe. We don't want to send another bunch of woke MEPs over there who are going to put their hands up like the best boys and girls of the class every single time. That's the last thing we need for the next 5 years. Mary, thank you very much indeed. And
not at all. Thank you very much.
And I'm happy to have you on the show. Thank you very much indeed. Let me go to Morris as well. Morris, we're going to come back to Robbie in a second, who's out on the streets. Morris, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you? I'm just finishing from work. I was in work today, so I couldn't get to the march, but I'll be definitely down at the fundraiser on Friday.
I don't know why that noise out of your phone is, Morris. There's a bit of a crackling noise, but go on.
I'll just see if I can make it any bit better there now.
Okay.
Is that any better now?
Yeah, that's much better. Much better, yeah.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I couldn't make it today, so I was in work, but definitely I know there's a fundraiser on for yourself on Friday, so I'll definitely be there at that. I think I'm just witnessing, like you were, I think we're witnessing maybe another mini revolution in the Republic of Ireland. Because when I see the women that you've had on talking out on the streets of Dublin marching, you have to pay attention to the women of Ireland. They're the backbone of this country, and they're out on the streets. So there's definitely something wrong, and there's something people want changed. And it's the
I'm looking at the video here, you know, of Robbie, a reporter who's out there. Yeah. They just look like ordinary people. You know, they're just everyday citizens. Yeah. But it's despicable to hear them being branded constantly all the time. Oh, they must be right wing or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. I'm the same. I'd be the same. You can't speak out against this government because they can do no wrong in their eyes. But I mean to say, if half the people that gave us the free country we live in today were alive, they tell them what they think of them. And they actually stole the election office. But the only way the people can make a difference, and you're doing this, you stood up and said, yeah, I'm going to run. I want to be counted. I'm going to tell them where they're going wrong and go on the side of the people. And other independents are doing it as well. So I think what's going to happen is the election will be a hung doll again. But I think the people with the power will be the independents who are put in by the people of Ireland. Mm-hmm. And they will dictate to what the people want. They listen to us rather than a three-headed snake government who give us the two fingers. And like the woman said, one party's been in power 11 years. And they've made the country worse. And every time I drive by James's Hospital, I see the financial burden they put on the taxpayer of Ireland by the stupid mistakes that they've done. You know the story about the million-pound printer, £2 billion hospital.
A million-pound, they purchased a million-pound printer, whatever it cost, and it won't even fit in the room they built it for.
Exactly. And then it was going to cost $2 million to get it
working. I don't even know if it's working yet. I haven't a clue whether it is actually working or not.
I don't think so. But like I said, you know what the parties are doing, Niall? They're not knocking at the doors. They're putting envelopes in your letterbox straight from the doll because they know how we feel about them.
Well, you know, I have to say, Morris, I was out in Swords and Malahide over the weekend, you know, and I was walking around chatting to people, and I have to say I got a wonderful reaction. There were smiles in everybody's faces. Once they knew that you weren't from a government party, there were smiles in everybody's faces. So I'm absolutely delighted. Oh. And by the way, I did put one of my leaflets, I what do you call it, blue tacked it to the Sinn Féin door.
Brilliant. But listen, it's great to see that the people are out, they're on the streets, they're marching, they want change, we'll get it, and we'll do it in the ballot box. Please get out and vote and get these crowd out of power and vote for Niall Boylan number one, because we'll get a good representation in Europe after all. All right.
Thank you very much indeed. Appreciate it, Morris. Let me just go back to Robbie, who's out on the streets, a reporter who is in Parnell Square, the Garden Remembrance, as we speak. Robbie.
Thank you so much, Niall, for that. And it's the last I spoke to. There's over 1,000 people here now. I haven't seen so many tricolours in the air since an Ireland game back in the day. But the atmosphere is really building up, I have to say. It's a nice, happy atmosphere. Of course, the Gardaí are on the peripheral of it all looking in. But people are here and they're in a joyous kind of humour. But Celine, Sheila, I beg your pardon, you are here today. What is the reason why you're here today? Because you've been on countless protests over the years.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there's a lot of business folding. You know, and
that's a good point.
With the crisis that we have now, I did write in a lot of letters to all the departments to get Mount Street sorted out twice, and the facilities in Tala were up to scratch, and our own homeless who are in tents would have availed of.
So you believe that our own homies here, especially in Dublin, has been left behind?
Yeah, they are. I see them. I go to them. You know, they're down on the beaches. They're down on the canal. But they're not on the canal up there. They're down on the other canal, you know, and I see them and they are forgotten and left there. And it's sad. And minority have been on the list for years and they're not priority anymore. I mean, this is their country. They're entitled to be looked after. I'm not racist here. I'm for all. But at the same time, you cannot, you know, leave your own out. You just can't.
What do you reckon the solution is to us?
Well, I did pull in solutions into the government.
What did you say?
I did say, you know, that we need to get the materials. And we have people there that might be retired that has qualifications, all different qualifications. And we can train all those on the labour, you know, the young ones, and bring them in and train them up and have them working with them so we can get the shutters and the doors down off all the council boarded up houses and speed it up. We'll all be bunch of materials and people will join in because we have welcomed in their thousands here with open arms. We're not racist, but I now hear about this racist march at all. This is about, you know, our people being left behind, our own people. This is the land of our forefathers. I mean, my own family fought in the rice. My own family fought in the War of Independence. And, you know, I'm sad because of what did they fight for? And we also fought for freedom of speech. They fought for freedom of speech. For us to have our freedom of speech. And then we've been silenced. But I've been putting in letters every day, 5 letters for this opt-out, asking everyone in government not to go with this. We haven't got the resources. The departments are flooded. We just can't. We can only deal with what we have now. The issues are now.
Okay, Sheila, thank you so much. I think it's really appreciated. Noel, as you can see, it is getting really kind of busy today.
Absolutely. And I have to say, Sheila was extremely passionate, of course, about small businesses, which has been a big problem. We spoke to Paul Trevaux, the restaurateur from Killarney, very recently in relation to that. And small businesses are not being supported properly by the government, particularly when it comes to restaurants and the higher VAT rate, etc., etc. And there are many things that can be done to improve small business.
Yes, Noel, she made a good point there because businesses there are being affected. And you know yourself how that happens. I mean, yeah. Especially with the VAT rate being increased from 9% up to 13% too. I have to say, it's a really...
I have to say, it's a great... I'm looking at people smiling and laughing and, you know, and people seem to be in a good mood. Hopefully it stays like that because that's what it's all about. Protest is all about being there and being heard. I can see the front, by the way, when you zoom back over there, of course, I can see they have the banner up. Obviously, they're all going to march behind that banner. They're due to march down, Robbie, I think, between 2:30 and kind of 3:00 down towards O'Connell Street, I imagine, and down to the Customs House Quay. Now, there is obviously the issue that there is a counter protest organised at the Spire at 2:00, or I'm assuming are there already, because they're not happy with this particular protest. I'm interested to know if that's the route that's going to be taken, or as suggested, say, in the past, that they maybe should be veered over to Parnell Street and down Gardiner Street to avoid the two protests clashing at the same time.
Noel, I'm not too sure about that at the moment, but I think it actually will go down on O'Connell Street like the last time. I mean, people are getting into place at the moment, as you can probably see in front of me.
I can see that, yeah.
They're all getting lined up. So I presume that it will go directly down through O'Connell Street because there's so many people here to divert them in other ways. It will be a distraction to a point.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, Robbie, we're going to go to one or two callers. We'll leave your video on in the background, but we'll turn you down for the moment and we'll come back to Robbie, our reporter, who is at the Garden Remembrance. And as you can see from the video there, the protest is starting to move. Let me go to Albert as well. Albert, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. Yeah, I was at the protest last time, but unfortunately can't make it this time. I'm hoping the guards now, because they've gone a bit softly with some of the other protests, that they're not going to start, you know, make a mark.
I.e. Trinity College, is that what you're talking about? Yes. Yeah, it's bizarre, yeah, isn't it? But it does seem like they don't have the same heavy-handedness with rich kids. But anyway, that's a whole different argument. I don't want to get into that conversation today.
Yeah, but the fact even that, you know, if they do let people, I mean, I remember that at the last one, we were supposed to have gone down Gardiner Street, and the guards deliberately made it go down O'Connell Street.
I thought was not a good idea, because that inflames tensions when you've got two counter protests, you know, kind of looking at each other and, you know, yelling at each other, whatever it is. There's no need for that, you know what I mean?
There's not, but I mean, this might fall into the government's and the guards' hands, you know, to say, the right wing fascists have started all this and now we have to go in heavy handed.
Well, I mean, listen to the last two or three people that Robbie spoke to there. There were three women, all, you know, middle to, you know, probably somewhere between the age of 40 and 60, whatever they were. They all had sheer concerns about local businesses closing down. They all have genuine concerns. I mean, dismissing the concerns seems to be quite outrageous, and referring to everybody as right wing. I mean, that's bonkers.
I know, but I mean, no matter what you say, if you say anything about the government or anything about any other policy, you're just classified now as right-wing and fascist. It seems to be like the buzzword of the day, and it just puts everybody in a little box over there, so now they can treat them all the same. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what the government are doing. Yeah. They don't care about anybody, and they're not listening to anybody. Yeah. They're obviously not listening to anybody. But I mean, or else the only people they're listening to are the NGOs.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
Well, I mean, I'm looking here because I can see the video in the background there, and I've been looking over it in case people think I'm looking to the side. I can see the preview screen.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a good crowd there today. Now, I don't know how many. I'm not great with numbers, but there's certainly, so far, there looks to be about 2,000 people, maybe. And I'm assuming that will only get a bit bigger.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here on GB News as well. They have their own reporter over here for this as well.
Oh, okay.
They're actually looking at it live, yeah. Herman Kelly is being interviewed at the moment.
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, Albert, thank you for that, and I appreciate you coming on to talk to us today. Let me just go to Billy as well, if I can. Hold on for a second. Let's see. Billy, hi, how are you?
Hey, Niall, how's it going?
Good, Billy. Billy, I'm looking at this here, you know, and it does seem like, you know, there's a decent crowd out there today. Thankfully, the weather has stayed off and it's been reasonably good. People seem to be in good spirits and in good mood. The Garda Síochána are there, obviously, in numbers, and that's expected and to be expected. You said you would have gone if you hadn't known it was on.
I might have entered up, Niall, but look, the thing is here, you said the Garda Síochána are there in good numbers. That's my big complaint with this government. Garda numbers are in the toilet. Law and order has fallen to bits in this country. There's not enough of them. They're not doing foot patrols. It's ridiculous. It's every aspect of law and order and justice in this country has just gone to the dogs in the last couple of years, from roads policing to just basic criminality. It's just gone ridiculous. And then you've got Helen McEntee as Minister for Justice. How she was reappointed, I don't know. Seems like the biggest political own goal that a Taoiseach has ever scored in his first week, putting her back in. She just seems to not have a clue, and she was found out in the Dáil last week of not being over her brief.
But there is suggestions, and I can see it possibly happening in the next few days, maybe week, of a vote of no confidence in Helen McEntee. Because there is rumblings of that within the Dáil at the moment. Now, I don't know whether that'll be good enough to bring down the government and have another election. I don't know.
I'll make a bet with you now, Niall, that there will be a general election in this country by the end of June.
Yeah, they have to give, is it 4 weeks notice? They must give 21 days there.
It's a case, Niall, that as soon as the European and local elections happen, I would say they will get such a trouncing there that they will have no option. And with what's going on with McEntee, the comments that have been made over the weekend about Harris, and I think the quote was juvenile politics that he's playing.
I
think you will see the government fall, the Fianna Fáil and the Greens will pull out, and that will be the end of this government.
I mean, if that doesn't happen, as been suggested already, that the government will plan to try and have a general election for November. And I predicted this. And the reason is, of course, that they'll put out a nice budget, keep all the pensioners and the social welfare happy. And then what they'll do is they'll put it on a really bad day, a cold day, a wet day, a horrible day, in the hope there's a bad turnout and they get a good result.
Well, Niall, as you said yourself, they have to give 6 weeks' notice, so they can't predict the weather 6 weeks in advance. So they're taking.
Well, no, but you know what I mean. You have a better chance of a good cold day in November.
The other side of things is, Niall, that you might get a decent turnout of people. Like my grandfather used to say, the only opinion poll that matters is election day.
Absolutely.
And all the opinion polls and everything else that's been shown now don't matter until the government comes to election day. So,
well, I certainly seem to be giving them a little bit of a fright because I'm now number three in the poll to be elected for an EU seat, according to the betting on Boyle Sports, and I seem to be the only one they're going for.
Ivan Yates, gave you a nice shout out.
He did actually. Yes, he did.
On Friday, so his co-host was not too pleased to hear your name being mentioned.
No, I don't think Matt likes me for some reason.
Sure. Look, Matt claims that he's not friends with any politician. So you're in good company there, I suppose. But yeah, getting a shout out by Ivan.
What do you recommend when it comes to the EU? Obviously, vote for me. But when it comes to the local elections in particular, which is going to be really important because Sinn Féin, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, the Greens, they're all going to be watching these local elections, because if they get trounced in the local elections, they're not going to want a general election.
I'll be honest with you, Niall. I would have voted for one of the government parties for my entire voting life. I have not. I've had only one politician call to my door since the turn of the year. She was an independent that's living locally. I had another politician who wouldn't ring at the door but tried to drop in his leaflet. I saw him walking around the street there a few minutes later, but he didn't ring the doorbell. I think most politicians at the moment, local and national, are scared of going to the electorate. I think they're quite panicked about what they'll get at the doorsteps, and I don't see many doorbells Absolutely. Being rang if they can avoid it.
Well, listen, Billy, unfortunately, I'm running out of time here rapidly, but listen, Billy, thank
Just
you very much. Yeah, one point. Go ahead.
Thanks, Matt. One point, just what happened with Helen McEntee, with Simon Harris at their houses with their young families, that is completely unacceptable.
Yes, I would agree.
I think if politics goes that way in Ireland, we're getting to a very, very, very dark and dangerous place, and I don't want to see the country go that way.
Thank you very much indeed, Billy. Let me go back to Robbie, who's out on the streets, our reporter, and he's with a lady called Joan. Robbie, hi, go ahead.
Niall, thank you so much. Of course, we're here at the national demonstration against the establishment, and I'm here with Joan. The lady's been at many a protest, and I spoke to her recently at the Q-Lab, says no. Joan, thank you so much for speaking to us again. You're live on the Niall Boylan podcast. Of course, stupid question to ask you, why are you here?
Well, I'm here because of the amount of migrants that are coming into the country. I mean, it just has to stop. Ireland's on its knees. We have 14,000 homeless ourselves, and these migrants, economic migrants, are coming in and getting everything for nothing. And it just has to stop.
Now, of course, the situation with Kulak says no, that has been a protest going on for the last 6-7 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's powered the people to a point, hasn't it? Because initially, at the beginning, people were asking the security guards questions, what is happening here,
yeah.
the wind and oil. Then the letter went around the state.
Yeah.
The proposal was they were going to house 5 points in the
suppression
applicants there. Everyone is on a kind of watch there. They're on a 24-hour watch. To stop people coming in to maybe, you know, build
There's no work getting done in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we know that they're going to put porta cabins in. I mean, we know where the porta cabins are getting made. They're being made at the moment. And when the government say 500, we all know it means 1,000. Do you know what I mean? And single men, not women, not children, single men. And the thing about it is, if they put them into Coolock, there's enough kind of going on in Coolock as it is. And what's after?
I think Joan, you've raised.
What's after that?
Okay, Joan, you've raised. Well, hang on. Yeah, sorry, Joan, you've raised a very good point. I think it was Simon Coveney said many years ago that he'd like to see a population of 10 million people in Ireland.
10 million.
And by the way, I don't disagree with that if you did it over a long period of time and we encouraged Irish people to have more children, because that's what we should be doing anyway.
100% Niall.
But in saying that, you know. People, what do you say to people who are referring, particularly the counter-protests, who are referring to you as, say, a right-wing racist? Because that's the titles they give people. Does that upset you when people say things like that?
Are you mental? Niall, talk is cheap. I mean, my mother told me from a very young age, sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. I don't care what anybody calls me. And I think being called a far-right is actually a badge of honour. So, I mean, I'm actually delighted.
Well, as I said recently, somebody called me far right on the television recently. I said, if I'm far right, you must be far wrong.
Still kind of the crowds are really building up. I'd say there's about 2,000 people here now at the moment, and they're all getting in line to walk down toward O'Connor Street. As you can see, on the top of Parnell Square, right down. Everybody.
Wow, it's a big crowd there, isn't there? Yeah, big crowd.
Great spirits, great folk, great crowd. Nobody is boisterous. At this moment in time,
I hope
lots
not.
Of diverse of ages, from all ages, from young to middle-aged to old people. I mean, families, mammas or prams, as we call them. There's a great diversity of people here. And obviously, they all have their own reasons why they are here today. Hello, guys. How's it going?
And it just seems to be a mix of men and women. It's a little bit of everything. Yeah.
From all ages.
Okay, okay. Well, Robbie, we'll come back. We'll come back to you in a few minutes. All right, there. It's Robbie, our reporter, who's currently at the protest up at Parnell Square. The protest starting to move down O'Connell Street. And by the way, lots of texts, by the way, coming in relation to it. Yeah, I completely agree with somebody just texting, by the way. It should never be about skin colour. Skin colour has nothing to do with the debate. Diversity, in some sense, has nothing to do with the debate, because I think most people in this country welcome diversity. And I think we should, by the way, because diversity is an important part of our economy. Many of the people who work, as pointed out in the past, in our hospitals, our nurses, our doctors, you know, come from diverse nations across the world. And we welcome people, and we always have. We've been a very welcoming country. I think people's biggest concerns is when it becomes uncontrollable and people are not being, as they use the word, vetted. And we have seen, by the way, from numerous reports that that's not happening. And, you know, we've seen cases of individuals who've come to this country who should have been on the register of sex offenders, and they weren't. We've seen people who've come from other countries, for example, Mohammed, who was sentenced to 5 years the other day in jail for attempted rape and sexual assault. He was refused asylum in Italy. He was also refused asylum in Germany, and he then got himself a fake Swedish passport, which he ditched before he came to Ireland in 2022. And then sadly, there was a victim here in Ireland of his habits. He's now in jail. He should have never been here in the first place, because we should have known that he'd been rejected by other countries and was a failed asylum seeker and not a genuine asylum seeker. Let me just go to Jessica. Jessica, hi, how are you? Sorry, just put you on there, Jessica. Go ahead, Jessica.
Hiya.
Jessica, you're not at the protest today, no?
No, I didn't even realise it was happening. If I had, I would have been there. But you know yourself. But you know, once it just stays calm and everything, and we don't have a November 2.0, once the riffraff stay away.
In relation to the issues that people have now, primarily a lot of people seem to have a problem with immigration. It seems to be the number one issue, certainly this year, when it comes to the elections. But there are other issues too, and you believe, you know, it shouldn't be just about one issue. You believe that your generation has been kind of let down.
We have, yeah. No, we've been just tossed to the side. And I even said to your producer this morning, whenever someone says, like, oh, well, why do people bringing up immigration? It's because it's like a domino effect. If one thing is the matter, then everything is the matter. The whole web comes crashing down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, young people like yourself, I mean, we've spoken to many young people on the air who say, you know, Ireland is never going to be their home because they can't afford a house in it. You know, they can't afford to live here anymore, and many of them are moving away.
Look how many of us go to Australia and the US and all, and then the government still has the cheek to say, oh, well, this the matter. Well, maybe you are the ones that are more or less pushing us away, like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see it getting
any better, or do you think it's just getting worse and worse as time goes on?
I want it to get better. I actually think after the local elections, the general elections, and the European elections, I think that's when things are going to get better for us. Because I honest to God think anyone who still puts an X down for anyone of either Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, anyone who actually goes near any of them parties, there has to be something wrong.
Yeah.
Mentally, there has to be something wrong.
Well, maybe. But here's the problem, Jessica. There are many people in this country who might be a little bit wealthier than us, maybe, who are not really being affected too badly by the decisions that are being made by the government, and that's part of the problem.
Yeah, they have the same mindset that McEntee and all the rest have. Once we're fine, F the rest of you. That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, once we're okay, why should we worry about you? But yet, they're the same people who are meant to look after us. They're not fit for purpose. They're not fit for the job, and they're leaving all of us, not just my generation, but all of us, to rot.
So what you're saying to me in these elections, the local, the Europeans, of course, which I know more about than any other elections, for obvious reasons, you're saying in these elections and the general election, a vote, you know, against the government is a vote no for the government, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah, no, my public service announcement would be, if you actually want Ireland to have a chance and want things to change, stay away from the big three. Stay away from them. But they're just... Even Sinn Féin, I wouldn't even trust anymore after what they did.
Mind you, I was so looking there. Boyle Sports are taking odds on a government, now listen to this, which would be Labour, the Greens, Sock Dems, and People Before Profit. I said, could you imagine? I'd just leave the country if that happened.
I don't think I could deal with that. I'd say to you, Matt, that's it. I'm going to be grave now, because that's more or less what that means.
Now, I think the odds of that happening are low, don't
give me nightmares like that, Niall. Don't do that to me.
Jessica, listen, thank you very much indeed for joining us today, and I appreciate it, and we'll be talking to you again soon. Let me just go to John O'D. John, hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad, yourself.
Good, John. You didn't make yourself to you didn't get yourself to Dublin today, no?
No, I'm way out as a velocity from canvassing door to door, and I'd be at it, no, right up to the 6th of June like yourself. So I need my energy. No, I wish everybody well up there. And I hope that the Garda, you know, will behave themselves now today, because, I mean, all of it to take, like, I mean, was a slight flick on how to kick something off.
I hope not. Yeah.
I just watched your video in the background there with Robbie there. And always, Garda would be well known in their area, right? So what they do, they bring Garda in from other jurisdictions. I spotted two undercover cops now from Cork now milling around in the crowd in the back of your video there. So be very careful what you're seeing and who you're talking to.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm looking around because I can see the video in the background here. And, you know, and it looks like, you know, I'm looking there. Everybody looks like they're smiling, they're happy, they're in good spirits. I see a lot of news crews there, by the way, from GB News and Sky News and a few other places. It looks like everybody's in good spirits. There's a cross section of people and ages. Generally speaking, between the age of kind of 30 and up to 65, I suppose, 70 maybe. There's some older people we spoke to there as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it looks like everybody's there for the right reason. And they're not there, by the way, just against immigration. Obviously, there is one or two are predominantly a lot of people there because of the immigration crisis, because that seems to be the number one issue this year when it comes to politics. Yeah. But certainly they're there because immigration affects everything else. It affects housing. It affects education because of education in places and schools. It affects our healthcare system because there's more people and more pressure on the healthcare system. It affects everything.
It does. And as you say, there obviously there's a huge percentage of the energy in the maps there, like we would be pointing towards the open borders which we have and the traitorism that's going on in the country at the moment. It's pure traitorism by the government parties at the moment. They just don't care about the people. They know it's unpopular what's happening. They're continuing to do it. You have the extra 70 tents now. When they're started out now, there'll be another 70 and another 100, another 200 come. And when is it ever going to stop? Every single person when the country is talking about it. But you're quite right, when it's not only justice regards that traitorism, it's the state of our health service when your 15-year-olds are dying in a trolley because they didn't get an antibiotic. That's somebody's daughter, right? Mm-hmm. This is happening in this country at the moment. Like, when you have people crucified now trying to pay rents, they have no social life, they'll never have kids because they can't afford it. It's all going on rent. They can't afford the house. The morale is on, and the Garda is on the floor. This is what pisses me off when I see the Garda turning on the people and their own morale is on the floor. They won't engage with their own commissioner. They're at war with the Minister for Justice.
What you're listing off there is a million reasons as to why we're in this situation. So what we have is a government that's dividing everybody, and it's causing this division in society between, like you mentioned, the Garda Síochána Conaill there, the public order units. Yeah. I'm pretty sure 90% of the men and women in the public order unit and the police forces don't want to be there fighting with people or arguing with people. That's not what they want, because we're all Irish citizens. We're all in this together. But we have a government who are determined to divide us.
But the trouble is, you see, that's why I said, be careful who you're talking to, because even the friendly guard in uniform there, if the super comes along and if he says, look, and you could have been talking 5 minutes ago, like a group of 8 or 9 or 10 people, and if the super comes along and says, I want them people moved, that same guard will ask you to move, and if you say, well, sure, we're all right, we're just talking to you, we'll go, he'll push you out of the way then. So be very careful, like, I mean.
Okay.
The guard, if this continues on, I'll finish on this, the guard will have to pick a side. They have a sworn oath to be impartial.
Well, the purpose of the Garda Síochána Conaill should be, at all of these processes, is to keep the peace. That's their job. It's not their job to take sides. Yeah. It's their dare to keep the peace and to stop anybody being injured or anybody being hurt or anybody becoming violent or whatever it is. And, you know, when you have a protest situation, I'm pretty sure on Garda Síochána Conaill are trained, you know, to obviously not engage with people too much, because you don't want to, you know, inflame people and inflame a situation. And that's what should happen. You shouldn't have a Garda Síochána Conaill who are completely over the top as soon as somebody shouts, you know, jumping in and beating them or something like that. That's not the way it should work in a protest situation, because people do get angry during protests. That's what protests are all about sometimes. But so far from what I'm looking at, John, here, the protest seems to be very peaceful. People are in good form. You know, it's sending a strong message out to the government that we feel voiceless and we want you to listen to us, but they're not listening. John, I have to go back to the protest here.
You're
to
welcome.
Robbie.
Thanks
very much indeed. Let me just go back to Robbie Kane, our reporter, who's out on the street of the protest. Robbie, hi.
Thank you so much, Niall. Yes, the protest is just passing the Gresham Hotel here. We're heading up towards a spire outside the GPO, of course. There was a counter-protest. But I'm here with Keith Carty, who we spoke to, the very first protester I spoke to, and he was at the ESB demonstration. Obviously in the East Wall, and of course it's part of that contingency to appoint. And of course, Keith, you're here today,
I mean, you're here today because you've been on many of these protests, but it means so much to you.
Start, as you know, Niall, from East Wall, from the start, from Malcolm and the rest of the great people of East Wall, you know. Since then, if you look around you, you can see the way it's taken off all over the country, you know. And people are fed up with this government policy.
Why are the Keith? Why are, when you see the amount of protests that there's been over the last, particularly 2 years, since the first one, Lee's Wall, going back in November, a year and a half ago, why do you think the government are not listening to people when they know it's causing such a division in society, when they know it's causing so many problems? Why do you think they feel they need to ignore everybody all the time?
Well, I think it's gone to the stage now that we can't ignore it anymore. We're coming up to the GPO here, where we have a lot of paid NGOs going to scream and shout. And I'll bring it back.
I'm surprised they're doing that.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, we have stewards organised with yellow vests from different parts that are putting up here today to keep the crowd moving, so there isn't a confrontation. And we were going to go left as we come down O'Connell Street, but it's blocked off again by the public order. So we have to go past them.
It's three vans.
There's three vans there. So what's
why? We discussed this with Maliki the last time, the last protest. So you would have much preferred to turn left on Parnell Street and go down Gardiner Street down to Customs House Quay, which would have been the much better situation rather than inflaming a situation.
Exactly, Niall. Because common sense will tell you to stay away from it, but unfortunately we can't. And common sense will tell this government that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they need to go. Helen McAtee and the rest of them, Roger O'Gorman, they're not doing a proper job and they need to go.
Do you believe this? There will be a general election before next year. A lot of people are suggesting it could happen. Of course, depending on how the local and European elections goes, if the government get a trouncing during that or trashed, whether they might call a general election before July.
After the no vote, I'm certain that there'll be an early election, and I hope the likes of yourself, none of Maliki and all the just do me a favour if you do get in.
I'll do a favour for everybody in this country because I'm only there to represent the people.
One favour for me just now, you'll have to get a hair.
Well, do you not like it lately? It's gone grey, by the way. Have you noticed that?
You're still going around like a 70s rock star.
That's because I am a 70s rock star.
Okay.
All right. I want to look like Bon Jovi. That's what that's all about.
That's Bon Jovi. You're not far off it.
Thank you very much indeed, Keith. And have a good day at the protest.
He does great work, you know.
Fair play to Keith. Thank you so much. You're a gentleman. Keith's going to protect me as you walk past here, obviously. We're going to show you here.
I'm going to come to Gladys and Jonathan in a few minutes as well, our callers. But we're heading now towards the spire, as you can see.
There was a bit of a stall there where the Jeep, where obviously with the Garda police vans were on the left-hand side of Parnell Square Street, where, of course, Keith did say they did want to turn left, but they had been blocked off by three big...
I find this the most bizarre thing. This is the same thing happened the last time. You would imagine... Yeah. That the, you know, the Garda Síochána would want to keep them apart because obviously they feel differently. You know, the counter protest, the protest. You would imagine the guards would have, you know, worked it out that they could turn left on Parnell Street and go down parallel down Gardiner Street onto Customs House Quay, which is where they're heading for. You'd imagine that would be the obvious thing to do.
And we spoke before we went on air what way they were going to go. And actually, when we went on air, you were asking what way did they think they were going to go. And I said they're going to go straight down on Collins Street. And I was right. So the Garda vans, the public order unit vans, three of them with public order, Garda was there blocking the left-hand entrance just by the end of Parnell Street there. And now we are coming up towards...
Where is the main body of the protest? Are they behind? Where are the people, Robbie? Where are the people? Are they behind you?
Behind me, yeah. But on the right-hand side of me, there's about 30 public order unit Garda on the right-hand side because to counteract the protest is directly outside the GPO. If you can capture this on camera.
Yeah, we can see it there, yeah. We're watching it. For people who are not watching, by the way, if you go onto Twitter or Facebook.
On the side of the road, the Garda, you have all the rest of the protesters on their counter protest all fenced in. If you can see this.
Yeah. Oh, I can see that there. So, okay, so they're cordoning off the counter protesters.
They're all singing songs, and of course, the members of the public order unit are on this side.
Yeah.
Now, the last time, they were quite closer to this particular left-hand side of the road.
Well, I'm very happy to see that they're keeping a good distance and a good gap between the two protests because, obviously, they don't agree with each other. So
very
I'm happy.
Well police today, I have to say, compared to the last time, very well police.
Because the last time, they were very close to each other and they were shouting at each other and it was causing a problem.
Niall, I beg your pardon, what did you say that time?
I said, yeah, the last time they were quite close to each other in the middle of the road.
They were
and
very
it was,
quite
yeah.
close. There were an antagonisation on the left-hand side and then yeah. there were stewards. There's actually stewards in this particular protest. The piece of yeah. protest at the moment that was organised in the Garden of Remembrance. And there's stewards here today. But as you can see, there's a stall.
Yeah.
And there will be a stall. And this the refugees, welcome to a fucking tent on the canal, is it? And this is where it could get a little bit rowdy, so I'm going to...
Well, I hope not. I hope it remains peaceful.
Just
yeah.
for this moment of time.
And just while I go, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to bring Robbie down. I'm going to go to Gladys. Robbie, just keep the camera on that for us as we go to Gladys. Gladys, hi, how are you?
Hi, Nine. How are you doing?
I'm watching the protest here. Thousands of people walking down O'Connell Street. There's a counter-protest on the other side of the road. The Garda Síochána kind of doing a good job of keeping them all apart, away from each other, which is a good thing, and hopefully it remains peaceful. So, Gladys, you have a disability, and due to a disability, you couldn't get there today.
Yeah. You know, sort of, it just wouldn't be, you know, feasible for me to do it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I know you're stuck for time and there's so many issues, you know, sort of. But, I mean, I'd just say, first of all, you know, that who could I ever vote for apart from yourself? Because they don't know what a woman is. You know, how can you have any kind of regard or respect?
There was a hustings the other night, seemingly on Zoom. Which was attended to by some of the female MEPs, and they were asked that question, what a woman was, and not one of them could answer it, which was quite surprising yeah. from women, by the way.
I mean, our country's sinking, you know, sort of thing. Like, I mean, first of all, you don't know what a woman is, so then you're not going to be concerned about any issues to deal with women. You know,
I want to point out something. Yes, somebody asked me about what I would be doing in the EU and what could I do to change things. And this is the one thing I mentioned. I mentioned it 2 weeks ago, or was it last week? I'm losing track of time. When I was at the RDS, you know, when you look at European directives, you know, they may not directly deal with, say, gender or gender ideology. But what you'll have is you'll have a left wing MEP who will want the wording changed to, instead of saying, for example, domestic violence against women or violence against women, they will say domestic violence against a person who identifies as a woman. And
yeah.
that
yeah.
kind of language needs to be kept out of EU documentation, EU laws.
Absolutely. 100%. You know, and I mean, how can, if you can't identify us and know who we are? You know, I mean, if our governments, you know, they're not going to be concerned about issues that face women, young, old, young, middle-aged, young, not so young, or you name it. There is no creche spaces for young mothers, you know, so they're not having the children. Well, look, I would just say the squeeze middle.
Yeah.
We pay for everything, absolutely everything, you name it, and can't afford all of the other things that you're meant to have. And also the woman's voice, I mean, she has to go back to work to keep a roof over her head. But there's no crash space.
Yeah.
Why is that? You know, they don't know who we are. They can't identify what a woman is. You know, yet we're the ones that bring the children into the world.
Yeah.
You know, to live unsafely in our country. And this, as you said, and I absolutely 100% agree, this is not about the colour of somebody's skin.
No.
This is just facts and reality. If you bring in men from a certain culture, young men on their own, no jobs, no money, no nothing, and park them on canals and you name it, and they're wandering around all day long, and they see us women, not me, I'm too old, but younger women or any woman, and they see they don't have the same culturally, it's a different culture.
Yeah.
And women are seen as less than. Mind you, that suits the government because they don't know what a woman is.
This seems to be the case. I find it bizarre, by the way, the amount of ministers and TDs that have been asked over the last couple of years, you know, what is a woman? And they struggle to answer the question. How can you struggle to answer a question like that? And how can you actually claim to represent women when you don't even know what they are?
Well, this is what I'm saying to you, Niall. I cannot, other than yourself, right, and a couple of others, I have literally homeless. Because even the women don't know what the, you know, in TVs, don't know what a woman is.
But here's the thing. I believe women are women's worst enemies when it comes to this, because you would imagine all of the female politicians, you know, some of them who don't know what a woman is or claim they don't know what a woman is or somebody who identifies as a woman, you would imagine that they, like every other woman, have been fighting for women's rights and equality for years as feminists, you know, just like the, you know, the suffragettes did many, many, many years ago.
Yeah.
You would imagine they would understand that, and they would guard those rights and that space that women have. They would guard it with their lives, but they're not. They don't care.
That is, I have laid awake at night wondering why that is so. you know, sort of thing like that. Women, it seems that if a woman gets afraid to say it, I don't know, when they get into government, are they afraid to go against this absolute head-banging stuff, you know, what is a woman, you know, sort of the language that has been removed from us, you know. And then we have, you know, and I have this on good authority, you know, that women are now afraid. They're absolutely afraid that we don't feel part of our own society. And I have a thing about, are we going to lose our cultural, our absolute identity? This is our, I mean,
you can, and I've said this to people in the past, you can have diversity, which is wonderful and valuable to our country, but you can still keep our own identity as well. Many countries in the world have achieved that. That you can still keep your identity and have diversity when it comes to people who are coming through the visa system to work in our country. I mean, we've always welcomed people. But it's very difficult to keep your identity when it turns into an open border situation, when it's a free-for-all.
The thing about it is, I'm being called names and all of that, I don't care anymore because I can see what's actually happening.
I stopped caring years ago, to be honest with you, Glenys.
But I mean, the idea that, you know, I remember thinking, well, I'm afraid to say, you know, it sounds unkind and it's cruel and it's awful. I am a decent human being. I do not want to be, I don't scream at anybody. I don't, you know, apart from the guy who took my disabled spot on Saturday.
I'd scream at him too for you, if you want me to.
There was a hedge between us, so right. I knew I was safe enough to scream at him.
Whatever about the mother and baby spaces, don't take the disabled ones.
Well, you know, this is it, you know, sort of thing. But I mean, I seriously worry about how, you know, and the middle, the squeezed middle, Niall, they're the ones that don't have the time to, they're too busy, and I see the stress. And I hear it. And I hear it in their voices, you know, sort of thing. They're, you know, my youngest daughter has no space for her baby. She has to go back to work and has nowhere to mind her baby.
And this is what I've said this the other day on Twitter, the crux of the matter and the root of this problem that we have in Ireland with a low birth rate at the moment at 1.7 is that we don't support the family. We don't support your daughter, for example, with childcare costs. We don't support her if she wanted to stay at home, for example, and not go back to work.
Yes,
we don't
100%.
Support people, and we don't support the family, and we stopped doing it years ago. Glenys, I'm running out of time rapidly, and I do apologise to everybody.
Good luck with your campaign.
And thank you very much. And of course, that's the main thing, by the way. A vote no for the government, by the way. A vote no for the government in the next election. And the way to do that is to vote for somebody who's not a government party. Thank you very much indeed, Glenys. Jonathan, I'll be with you in 2 seconds. I've got to go back to Robbie, our reporter, who's out on the streets. Robbie, go ahead.
Okay. How you doing, Noel? I'm going to give you over to Peter because it's a very fun time now in atmosphere. So Peter will be able to talk to you directly. 1 second.
Hi, Peter. How are you? Peter, it seems like a very peaceful protest today, which is good news. A good turnout. Why are you there, by the way, Peter? What's the main reason you're there?
Oh, well, we have to show ourselves and that we don't want this crazy immigration and all that comes with it. We've seen what it has brought to other European countries. How can we be stupid enough to do the same thing that they've done? It's just, the mind boggles. You know, What are the politicians being offered? It must be something big for them to risk what's coming to them.
It kind of is mind-blowing when we've seen the decisions being made over the years, particularly in relation to immigration, which has turned into kind of almost like an open border, a free-for-all situation, with very little being done about it up until recently, because we all know why they're all doing a bit of a U-turn on it, because they want your votes in the next election, obviously. But why do you... I mean, it doesn't benefit anybody, including them, so why do you think they're continuing to do it?
They've been promised something, Niall. There's something big there. There's a reason for us. Like, this isn't stupidity. You know.
Oh, unfortunately, we seem to have lost Robbie there. He's gone to a bad signal area. Oh, we'll come back to Robbie in a second. Let me just go to Jonathan. Jonathan, hi. How are you? Oh, sorry, Jonathan. For some reason there, my screen is frozen. I do apologise. Sorry, Jonathan. Go ahead.
No, I didn't vote for anyone in the UN or the
WTO. Hang on, Jonathan. Yeah, sorry, go ahead. I have you back there now. Go ahead. Oh, he's gone again. Okay, Jonathan, sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Jonathan.
All right, how are you?
Sorry, the glitches, the gremlins are in the system. Unfortunately, where Robbie, our reporter, is now, the signal seems to have gone down a little bit. But Jonathan, would you have gone to the protest yourself today, or would you avoid it at all costs?
No, I would have went. No, I was at the last tree.
Your phone is breaking up there, Jonathan. Just try and move your head.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Any better?
Yeah, you were at the last three.
I've been to the last three, and I would have ended the one today, but I got something come up last night, and I just couldn't make it in the end.
And
but, I believe at the minute now we're fighting for the soul of our nation. As Malachy Sneeton has been saying, we're in a fight for the soul of this nation.
Mm-hmm.
There's no two ways about it. You keep asking the question, why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? Why are they doing it?
But that's the question I've been asking for two years.
They've taken their orders. We know this from European and from the World Economic Forum and all of these people.
Mm.
All of them. These are their orders they're pushing out across Europe. You look across Europe, you can see what's happening. You look to London there and England, certainly there the last couple of things. They've been replaced.
The local elections certainly seem to be quite concerning, and Nigel Farage pointed that out, of course, in the UK over the last week or so. But Jonathan, hang on, because I do have Robbie, a reporter, back. Sorry, go ahead.
Who, Niall, me?
Yes, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we're sick of being the bottom rung of the ladder. You know, everybody's ahead of us. Bankers, insurance companies, EU, UN, vulture funds. Just sick of it.
How do you make change? I mean, is the ballot box the only way? It seems to be.
Well, we'll give it a go. But like, remember, for a few elections there, we voted for independence, and that didn't work out. You had Shane Russell and a few yahoos. They were no use. Then we voted for Sinn Féin. Sure, the Civil War parties came together, so nothing seems to be working.
Yeah, well, the last time people did vote for change, but the government managed to get back in again. Fine Gael, and the Greens.
We'll try again next year and see how it goes.
Well, we can try again in June. That's a good kick in the arse during the local and EU elections. That'll be a good kick in the arse for the government, won't it?
Yeah.
Well, look, I hope you have a good day there. I hope it continues to be a peaceful protest. It seems to be at the moment, and hopefully it remains that way and people's voices are heard.
That will, yeah. It's all families. And if you get lonely over in Brussels, give me a shout. I'll pop over. We'll have a couple of pints and a bit of crack.
Looking forward to it already. Thank you very much indeed.
See you, Niall. All the best. Wait.
Sorry, Jonathan. I do apologise. Let me go back to Jonathan there.
Yeah, no, like I said, Noel, we're in the fight for the future of this nation. And you can go on about skin colour and all the things you want. It's not a racist mentality. Okay? We didn't ask for any of this. As a matter of fact, we voted against, when was the last election for the anchor baby thing? We voted for it then. They knew then.
Yeah, 2002.
We were worried about it then. You know that kind of way.
We were worried about it then, Michael McDougall at the time, of course, brought in the legislation to do away what they call the anchor baby law, right? And that kind of went away. And look, you know, there's always been, you know, asylum seekers coming into the country over the last 20 years or so in dribs and drabs. Not very much, obviously, nothing to be too concerned about. But we've seen a huge increase, certainly over the last year. And that increase is getting bigger and bigger and bigger in the first 3 months this year. Yeah.
As the lady said, when men are running away from war to take their families with them, when they're going to war, they go by themselves. They've been facilitated with everything they need. Everything that they need that they could want for, in tents and houses and camps and all of it, medical cars, and they've been well taken care of.
Okay, so but would you be, I'm assuming, Jonathan, you'd be in favour of a fair policy whereby those who you believe are genuinely coming from, you know, their lives are in danger or whatever, from Ukraine, for example, or whatever it happens to be, or those
but
who are coming from
part of Ukraine?
Yeah.
Come on.
Sorry?
You know, like you were talking to someone the last day, you know, like there was a war here in the north, civil war. People in Cork weren't emigrating.
I agree. There are many people from Ukraine who shouldn't be here, by the way. I'm not saying they should. Yes. They all should. And by the way, I was the one who said 2 years ago to a politician on the radio that we should have capped the numbers at 20,000.
Well, there should have been. I'm all for a fair system, like you said. And you're talking, to keep on talking about the benefit these people bring to the healthcare system and all that. The healthcare system's on its knees. It's not a great blatant endorsement now, is it, to keep on bringing that up?
No, but, and by the way, you wouldn't need that many people for the healthcare system if we actually encouraged, and I said this the other day on Twitter as well, if you encouraged Irish people to have more children and supported the family more, there would be more people. Yeah.
But they won't. Like you said, abortion is introduced now, numbers are going through the roof. They want you working so you can't afford to raise your children. But I said it to you before, you have four different people of different cultures, they're coming in, they're not going to not have babies. They're going to keep on having them and keep on having them and keep on having them.
Well, we should be We certainly should be encouraging the family, Jonathan, this country. We need to do that. So, Jonathan, your main concern is we're losing our identity.
My main concern, Niall, is the people in this country have nothing but disdain for the people of this country and have done for years. And I've noticed it for years. I've never voted for a political party in an establishment party in my life. Sinn Féin for 20 years, like a mutton head, going around listening to them clowns.
So you won't be voting for Sinn Féin again, I assume? No.
I'm glad he never got into power. I'm glad, even though I was annoyed what happened the last time, I'm delighted. There's blessing in disguise as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
But I really believe that we're fighting for the soul of this nation on every front.
All right, Jonathan, thank you very much indeed for that, and I appreciate you coming on and talking to us. Let me just go to Carl as well. Carl, hi, how are you?
Well, how are you keeping? Good.
Good, Carl. It's just, I have to say, it's wonderful to watch because I'm a big man, a big believer in protest. It's a peaceful protest. There are thousands of people there. It seems to be going very well. All walks of life, young and old, and they all seem to be smiling and having a good time on a nice sunny, well, it seems to be a reasonably sunny afternoon. So hopefully it stays like that, Carl.
But well, if it's a peaceful protest, I'll support it 100%.
Yeah.
But if it turns into this far-right bullshit that's going on, I won't support it.
Mm. I don't support violent protests. No, I wouldn't support a violent protest.
No. I mean, if you want to protest. Don't go around wearing balaclavas to have a peaceful protest. You don't need a balaclava to have a peaceful protest. It doesn't make sense, you know?
Can I say one thing in relation to that, Carl? When it comes to the protests against immigration, I do understand why some people want to hide their identity, because the problem is, you know, you get such a bad reputation nowadays for even suggesting that you don't agree with all what's going on. So people sometimes go to the protest, they want to hide their ID because they might work for someone or work for, and they just don't want to be seen on television or whatever it happens to be. So I don't agree with the lads that are going around with balaclavas on them intent on causing trouble. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who want to hide their identification.
Yeah, okay, that's a fair point, okay? You know, but, I mean, if you take a bunch of black lads out there, they can use the N-word all they want to each other. But as soon as you use it, you're a racist. Yet they can call us every name under the sun as well, you know, that type of way.
Yeah, but I don't agree with the use of the word permanent.
No, neither do I.
No,
but they unnecessary. They use it.
Yeah, and as a mate of mine, he's black, and I said it to him, I don't agree with them using it either. It's a I remember Richard Pryor doing a great sketch about that many years ago, and he apologised for all the years he used that word, because he himself said it's a derogatory word. And it's not a nice word. Because it's reminiscent of so many bad things, you know, from many, many years ago. But anyway, Carl, in relation to, you know, this particular protest, I think most people are there, it's not because they disagree with diversity, it's because they disagree with an open border policy.
Exactly. And look, I mean, the last thing we want in this country is another border being patrolled on both sides by the PSNI or the Garda Síochána, whatever it may be. We've had the freedom there to cross back and forth in the past 20-odd, 30 years, wherever it may be. We don't need it back, you know, but something has to be done about stopping all these people, unvetted people, coming into the country. I do believe, yes, there are some people who need asylum and they need sorting out and they need accommodation, but the majority are economic migrants.
They are.
Coming in from the north.
And that's a statistical fact, by the way.
Yeah, and something has to be done about them.
Well, listen, Carl, unfortunately, I have to go back over to our reporter, but thank you very much indeed for coming on and talking to us.
Okay, mate. Have a good day.
You
best
too.
Of luck. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl. Let me just go back to Robbie, our reporter, who's out on the street at the moment. Hello. He's currently down at Custom House Key. I can see the Custom House in the background.
Yeah, we just arrived here at Custom House Key. And thank you so much, love, because we may lose you with the sound of the speakers playing Irish music here. But I have Darragh Tonga's going to say a quick hello to you. Hold on 1 minute. For you, Darragh, it's for you. You're live with the Noel Boylan podcast. Hi. On this protest. I'm going to give you the double ears. There you go.
God save all here.
Hi, Dara. How are you? And welcome onto the show. Dara, it's the same question I suppose I'm asking most people. I mean, why are you there specifically today? People are there for a multitude of reasons.
Yeah, I'm standing with government. The Irish people as a candidate for Selbridge and Leixlip.
Good man.
Ireland is a Christian country. It says so in the first line of our constitution. Ireland, by our proclamation, the Irish Republic will not be destroyed until the Irish people are destroyed. Have a look behind me. Are we destroyed?
No, doesn't seem that way. I mean, I'm looking at the protests in the background. I can see them right at the end down there. There seems to be quite a lot of people there today, Dara, too.
Yeah, last time it was about 80,000, Crow Park emptied. It looks like it could be double that today.
I wouldn't think there's 80,000 there with respect, Dara. I'd say I'm looking there, but maybe 3,000.
It's gone right up the O'Connell Street, so...
Yeah, we'll get a better view once they all get to Customs House Quay. I think we'll get a good indication of how many people are there.
Yeah.
And do you believe we've lost our Christianity?
I think that we've lost our Pope and our Catholic Church. If you were to listen to Pope Francis, I've watched videos where he has said that Mother Mary is a harlot. you want to start investigating your Pope, ladies and gents, because I've turned Orthodox and I turn my back on that church.
There you go. There's Dara. Robbie, I have to say, Robbie, the crowds are... We'll get Robbie back in a second.
All right, Niall, there you go. So we got a mixture of all sorts of people today, as you probably heard that there.
Yeah, if you, maybe, Robbie, could you do me a favour? Maybe get over somewhere back towards the river there and let's see, can we get maybe the camera up high to give us an indication of how many people are there? Because I'm getting mixed reports that it's, you know, a couple of thousand, 3,000, 4,000. It's kind of hard to tell because they're all not, I have to say, they all haven't come down yet.
Well, I can capture. Hold on a moment. Hold on.
Okay. We're going to get...
Sorry, guys. Sorry, guys.
Oh, there you look at there, Robbie. Look
there
at
you
them.
Go.
Okay. So they're all on the way down now. They're still all on the way down. Oh, my gosh. There does seem to be a very good crowd there, doesn't
all
it?
All outside the Custom House at the moment. This is where they're going to be doing the speeches.
Yeah.
And I have to say... Everyone is in a very peaceful, joyous mode. There is no animosity at all. We walked past the counter, but looked at protests outside the GPO. But as member of the public order unit, the Garda Síochána tried to divide them. Actually, the counter productive protests were all penned in by the Gardaí.
Mm-hmm.
This protesters, demonstrators weren't.
Yeah, the
families here, as I mentioned before, mams or prams, as we call them.
Mams with prams.
And you can see the amount of people who have congregated outside the GPO. Sorry, the Custom House.
I mean, okay, judge, because we can only see a section. Obviously, there's still more people coming down. And how many, if you were to guess how many people was there, how many would you think? I don't
know. I got to let them speak for themselves. I can't really hear you because of everyone screaming.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's hard for us to hear the audio, unfortunately, because it's so loud. It's actually distorting into what they call silence, technical silence. But I'm looking, and it seems to be, I'm going to guess somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000, maybe, people. And it was a good turnout today. Thankfully, a peaceful protest, and hopefully it remains that way. If you're at the protest and you're listening in,
Sorry.
Don't forget, when it finishes up later on, please do, you know, head home in a peaceful fashion as well. We would encourage people to do that. And you can see them all there with their banners and everything else. Yeah. It looks like it's a good day, a good turnout. Thankfully, the weather was good, by the way. People from Newtown, Mount Kennedy there. It says Newtown, Mount Kennedy says no, or Newtown, as they call it for short. All right, well, listen, thank you very much indeed to our roving reporter, Robbie Kane. Robbie, thank you very much indeed for covering that for us today. And all right, I know he's finding it difficult to hear us now because of the noise. But thank you very much indeed to Robbie. Thank you to everybody involved. And we really appreciate all our callers coming on the air today. Don't forget, by the way, to do support the podcast. You can do that by going to www.nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. And, of course, I would urge you to support me. Remember, of course, if you don't want any more of this, and we need to stop these protests because we don't want Ireland in a situation like this, I am on your side. I am on the side of the protests, provided it's peaceful. I'm on the side of anybody who wants to protest, by the way, about anything at all, because I think that's your constitutional right to protest. You don't want to feel voiceless in a society like Ireland. We've always stood up for our rights, and I do believe it's everybody's right to stand up. So please do support me. As you know, I'm running in the Dublin constituency for Europe this year, so please support me. The establishment parties don't want me to get elected. They are determined for me not to get elected. So much so that I'm getting so much publicity in the newspapers, thanks to all of them, by the way. I'm getting so much publicity in the newspapers about every story that they try and drag up about me to put me down. So please, thank you to everybody who has supported me. Thank you to all the people that we've met while we're out canvassing, by the way. You're all wonderful people. It was great to see all those smiles. And I can see there's absolutely people want to vote no to the government. So if you want to vote no to the government, vote for your local independent candidates. If you want to vote no to the government in Dublin, vote for me in the EU. And I will make sure, I promise you, that I will have your interests at heart when I go to Europe. I won't be like some woke MEP putting my hand up all the time and selling away our sovereignty and selling away our control over our borders. So thank you very much indeed. Please, by the way, if you want to get involved in the campaign, you think you can contribute or you think you can do anything at all to help us, please go to the website www.nileboylanforeurope.com. All right, that's Niall Boylan for Europe. Oh, sorry, .ie. Niall Boylan for Europe.ie. You can go to that website if you want to support us. Let's play the little video before we head off. Until then, have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Hi, my name is Niall Boylan. Of course, you know me from the radio station. I'm talking to people every single day. And you know what? They're sick of the government. I love this city. I love Ireland. I love the crack. I love the cave meal at Fáilte. that it's offered us for thousands of years. But we need change. And over the last 4 years in particular, I've noticed those callers are getting angrier and very frustrated because they feel voiceless. They're listening to a government who are not listening to them. An opposition party who don't seem to oppose. They've ignored us on so many things, so many important issues. They've ignored us on mass immigration with a reckless immigration policy. They've ignored us on healthcare with waiting lists getting longer. There's 4,000 children in temporary accommodation as the homeless numbers rise and rise in this country. But what have they done about it? What have they actually done? They've made promises but done nothing. Our business communities are suffering with closures every single day caused by skyrocketing energy costs and a government that refuses to reduce the VAT rate back to 9% to help those businesses stay open. And many people say they don't feel safe in our city, with crime figures that seem to be getting worse every single day. And that's why I'm here. You can see the doll in the background. And remember, in that building in the doll in the background, very few of those people are actually listening to you. But some people are listening. Michael Collins, Michael Fitzmaurice, and Richard O'Donoghue, Independent Ireland. And that's why I've decided to run as a European MEP and be the real voice of Dublin for Independent Ireland, for honesty, integrity, and real common sense. I'm not a politician. In fact, I'm not even part of the establishment. But I think that's what we really need. We need real change. And we need people to stand up and be counted and represent the people of Dublin. I'm a proud Dubliner. I'm a proud Irishman. I'm a good listener. And I'll speak honestly and openly for you, the people of Dublin and the people of Ireland. So please vote for me, Niall Boylan, on the 7th of June. And I'll be the real voice of Dublin and the real voice of Ireland in Europe.
Award-winning Niall Boylan podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.